You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome into In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Very happy generic March weekend, Bogman. We won't give dates. We don't want to be specific here or anything like that because maybe In This League is playing all over. So happy March weekend, whichever specific one you are enjoying.
You know what is the best part about this March weekend is we have zero shares of snow.
No. So you want to know actually something that just happened to me?
My air conditioning is on right now.
Okay. Speaking of air conditioning, this just happened to me. This is my life experience. So all you people in the snow, hey, I'm envious because I walked in. I came up to the second floor of my house and the timer on the second air, because I have two air conditioning units here. We have to have that in Arizona if you have a bigger house. And the second air conditioning unit wasn't working. Or it's working, but the timer is just taking a long time to click on. And I had to start the show, and it was 79 degrees in here. And I'm very upset. I can't properly
do
a
show. So you're sweating.
Yeah, it's colder outside. It's a you know, a very brisk 72 outside in Arizona.
Yeah, it's not cold out, that's for sure. I love it, and I apologize to anyone who is affected by the nor'easter. I mean, a lot of people losing power. I know in the
is that
great
what's
American-
going on? I was wondering what was going down in all that because it's one of the couple of the producers. One of the days, a couple days ago, because as people know, I do some news updates here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I needed to get an update in a little bit early because they were trying to get out to beat the storms, but I haven't heard anything about it on the news. All I've been hearing about is. World leaders going to meet at some point in 2 months from now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you tell you what, the Browns are meeting with everybody right now.
Well, I'm very excited about that. But what was going on? So we're going to talk about that here in actually just a minute. But what was
I mean,
the
it's
thing?
Just exactly what happened in the day after tomorrow is going on, I believe.
Oh, so wait.
In the Northeast.
So Jake Gyllenhaal is going to save everybody.
He's with Emmy Rossum. Before Ooh, she was in Shameless.
Good poll. Dennis Quaid is going to come and save both of them.
That's right. Exactly.
Emmy Rossum, by the way, Emmy Rossum, good scenes in Shameless?
Oh, yeah. Right. Come on, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I think I've been told I need to. All right.
You need to.
Okay, yeah. So.
Emmy Rossum is just amazingly talented, too. She's like an opera singer as well. So she's just incredible.
Sure.
Yeah.
Everything is frozen over on the east right now.
Right.
There are ships probably in the middle of the street. That are frozen with potential
right, there's
wolves.
Packs of wolves.
Apparently,
right,
wolves were able to find their way into New York City when it's all frozen. Just because it's frozen,
from the Central Park Zoo. Right.
Oh, it was the zoo. Okay. Because I was about to say, wolves were like, hey, there's snow. Let's go play.
Let's go kill Jake Gyllenhaal and all of his ethnic friends.
Yeah. Go do that, please. Jesus.
I hate those, like you know, 2000 movies where they're like, they're more racist than other things. They're like, let's get one of each. It's like, what are you doing?
It's a standard. That's how the movies go.
It's like old Burger King commercials.
By the way, I will tell you, that's one of those movies, The Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah, The Day After Tomorrow.
It's one of those bad movies, like Waterworld, that's actually not bad, and I'll kind of watch. I love Waterworld, too, but it's critically acclaimed to be known as a bad movie, but it became like
probably won some Razzies.
Yeah, but it became like a cult hit. I mean, think of all the people that are in that movie. I loved Waterworld, too, but The Day After Tomorrow is one of those movies where if I'm sitting around, there's nothing on, and I'm just like, well, I mean, I could watch, like, 30 minutes of this probably, and I will.
Right, right.
I'll do that. Like, I have a feeling when San Andreas with The Rock gets on TNT, that'll probably be the same thing. I'm like, I could watch I could watch the world blow up for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, any disaster movie is pretty solid, right? You know,
yeah.
A little bit of your boy Snake Bliskin, as you would say, or Pliskin, as everyone else would say.
Yep. Little Bliskin.
Yeah, exactly. Escape from New York. You can watch that at any time. Yeah, there's a lot of those movies that you're like, this is fine. It's a bad movie, but you know, as long as they don't come in expecting Daniel Day-Lewis worthy acting, you're okay. You know,
very
not
true.
Everything has to be an amazing movie. It can be crappy and fun.
So. Well, I mean, that's the there's a show we listened to that just had this whole conversation about that show or that movie Death Wish, the remake with Bruce Willis, where it's like an under 20% is the critical acclaim, but it's like over 80% audience like sometimes we just want to see S blown up. Like, that's just what we want. I want to see.
Sometimes Michael Bay is fine.
You know what it honestly is? I want to sit, like, I'm going to say this, and I'm the biggest douche on the planet now. But, like, I can get, like, heady, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a heady, like, movie type of person. Like, I like obscure, like, I'll watch, you know this. I've watched, like, you know, I like to watch, like, foreign horror movies. And
is heady a thing?
It's like, kind of a thing.
People say heady because I've never heard anyone say heady before.
Okay, I guess I like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That's like a
heady,
a dramatic. It's like a dramatic. You know what I'm getting at here? Stop picking me apart, USOB. Stop picking me apart here. But what I'm saying is,
yeah, it's heady.
With all of that, you know, if I want to watch these, you know, like emotional movies or these dramatic movies or whatever it is, or these smart movies, I also want to sit back and I want to watch Dennis Quaid
Dennis Quaid shoes
with sticks in Central Park on a ship.
Okay.
While it's frozen.
I mean, I'm just going to give you a free pass and we can start talking about the Browns.
Well, speaking of disasters and defeating the disaster, the Browns did that on Friday. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. We got a lot going on the show today, of course. We're going to be answering listener questions, fantasy baseball listener questions, I believe in the second hour. We've got some player debates that we have tweeted out, and more than usual that we're going to be going through. We have tweeted out the masses, some really good ones, and just a little, we don't need to keep them as like this super secret surprise, but a couple interesting ones just for you to kind of keep in your brain. We got a triple threat match of David Price, Jake Arrieta, and Jose Berríos. Those guys are going up against each other. Joey Gallo versus Ian Desmond. And I got a couple others. We got, like, I think we end up having like six. So we're going to go through those in hour three. We've got a ton of listener questions for your drafts, trades, thoughts on guys. I went out and saw Shohei Ohtani pitch just on Friday. He pitched a B game.
Has he gotten a restraining order against you yet?
I've only seen him twice this week. That's it.
String training has been going on for 2 weeks. How many times have you seen him total?
I've seen him two
18,
times.
18? 19?
No, two times. This isn't a Ronald Acuna situation.
It's two times through his window and all the other times for at spring training games.
One time he was hitting, one time he was pitching. And I'm going to break it down and I'm going to tell you guys what I saw because it's different than my perceptions of going into drafts and whatnot. So we're going to talk about that. We've got a whole lot to cover in this episode. One of those things, of course, we want you guys to know as you are prepping, maybe this weekend you guys are prepping for your fantasy baseball. Maybe you have a draft or maybe you have one in the next coming week. What we want you to do is go over to Amazon right now and search 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. You can get our book. Scott Bogman, right there. Say hi.
Hi.
Me, Chris Welsh. Hi. The heady guy. The heady guy. We both wrote a book. We both wrote a heady book. 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. Just under 200 players we debated with some of the... Don't snort. That's going to kill me. That's going to get me. We got some of the best in the industry. Paul Spohr, Steve Gardner, Jake Seeley right here from this network, Joe Pizzapia, Rob Silver, Vlad Sedler, if you want to get in the high stakes fantasy baseball world,
all sorts of heady guests,
bunch of heady guys, very very heady guys that they judged the debates that we did. We did it in a boxing style format. Each page is presented like a boxing poster. So it's really cool. It's very unique. It's a compliment to any draft guide you have, and you can get it for only $6.99 on Amazon. Or if you want the PDF, just go to our website, inthisleague.com, and you can purchase same price, just inthisleague.com, and you can get the PDF. You can take it wherever you want. It'll help you get your critical mind thinking and prepare you for your drafts, whether they're tomorrow, tonight, or next week or the following week. So go get it today. We'd appreciate it. You're supporting us. And the just the painstaking time spent writing that thing. It's a totally underappreciated art of writing and also making each page a JPEG like poster. It's underappreciated because that's what I wanted to do.
We're like Dennis Nedry. We are unappreciated in our time. That is for sure.
Don't get the reference whatsoever.
It's Jurassic Park. So if you were a little more heady, you'd
get it. That one been beyond me. Well, I mean, that was kind of a dumb movie, so I was probably watching something.
Jurassic Park was a dumb movie?
No, I mean, but it wasn't like a smart person movie. That's what smart people say about Jurassic Park.
It was a dumb person movie. It was definitely an action movie.
I'll tell you what. The new Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, that's a dumb person movie.
Yeah, that's a dumb person.
The remake, a really dumb person movie.
Remember when the woman was outrunning the T-Rex in her heels? Remember that?
The new one looks like words we can't say. Like, that's how dumb it is. Like, it looks really, really bad.
Let's save all these animals with a volcano blowing up. Let's risk our lives for all these dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea.
Chris, you got to go back to the island because you totally raised this raptor. He's going to die.
The raptor's going to bite your face off second he sees you, but you got to save him, man. And also make sure you take that shirt off. You're working on that 12 pack.
Let's also make sure we only have like 15 people on the entire island that's about to blow up through a volcano. It looks stupid. Oh my God. All right.
Also bring the chick that totally spurned you and ruined the whole entire movie.
Make sure the dinosaur recognize you to save you. Yeah. Okay. All right. We've definitely killed enough time. Really, it's an art of the amount of time we can kill. The basketball games. I know.
Rockets just.
Let's talk about the insanity, which was Friday. And I got to tell you, that was one of the more exciting things I've had because one of my problems overall, I've actually got a problem with baseball. I hate baseball free agency. Or no, not baseball. It's football. Actually, football in general pisses me off. The free agency is always so bad because no player ever hits the free agent market. And I think the franchise tag has been just a horrifically horrible idea because it completely, I think it devoids the market of ever like having players change teams whatsoever. And it really pisses me off. But the other thing is like, we never see trades. We never see amount of trades. And we always assume it's basketball is the big guy and baseball as well. But Friday, the Browns like single-handedly made more trades than were in last year's NFL draft.
It's always weird. Like, you'll see no trades, basically. I mean, we saw a little bit more this year with JHI getting moved and stuff like that.
It's slowly picking up.
But all the trades happen on draft day. That's like with draft picks, like a couple days before draft day. It seems to never happen beforehand. But the Browns are just like, you know what? Nothing that we've done has worked, so F this. We're just going to go ahead and trade when most teams don't.
And you know what? Fantastic idea. What they did today, we're going to break it all down here, or what they did on Friday, I'm sorry. What they did on Friday was like immaculate for a laughable team. The Cleveland Browns have been laughable for, I mean, as long as I can remember. I feel like as long as I've been alive. I was born in the early 80s, as were you. Like, they have never been good.
They were good like in the 80s and early 90s. They were pretty good.
I don't remember. I just remember my Niners winning in all the early 90s and late 80s. So, where the Browns are?
How many rings?
Don't do that. Like yes, you guys have six, crybaby, six rings. But like, we got five.
Why am I a crybaby?
Because remember, like, you got the rings.
Oh,
you were
yeah.
Given the ring. Okay. Yeah. Backtrack that.
I mean, yeah, sure. I remember now that you mentioned it.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't really remember.
It's not something that's going to come up in my memory all the time after that night.
If you want to see a grown man.
Because I don't remember crying.
If you want to see a grown man cry out of just pure joy by getting a present, go to our YouTube channel.
And no,
youtube.com/endlessleague.
I don't remember any of it.
No, there's no way. I mean, you were like, you know, what is it the saying they say? Two sheets to the wind or three sheets to the wind? You're about 24 sheets to the wind for sure. But what the Cleveland Browns did is they've really been devoid of like a dominant like playmaker type of team. They've had a couple pieces here and there. They finally got Josh Gordon back this year. They haven't had a quarterback for God knows how long. It feels like since what, Bernie Kosar? Like, was that the last half decent one? I know. And it's been really bad, but they went out and pulled a couple trades that maybe, you know, in its whole isn't like the biggest deal in the world, but it has draft implications. So the first one, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about the rest and the draft implications when we come back in just a couple minutes. But they were able to trade for franchised Jarvis Landry. The Miami Dolphins had franchised Jarvis Landry for $15.9 million, which looked to be, and the obvious hope was they were going to trade him because those sides, they were not going to fix
it. Yeah, and it didn't make sense because I mean, whatever Miami gets is a bonus for them in this trade. But you know, they have depth at wide receiver, so it didn't make sense unless they're going to trade him, and they got the deal worked out.
Yeah, and it has, I mean, it has its own fantasy implications all across the board. Devontae Parker immediately moves into a number one in Miami.
Shaquem Grant moves up from Miami too.
Yeah, Kenny Stills.
Kenny Stills, absolutely.
Who's always been kind of a playmaker, so that's really positive. But then you take a look at this move, and the Browns are working towards getting a contract extension because he's going to be working off of this, and he may just finish this, you know, contract off. I would assume there is a mutual interest in, you know, having a nice big contract done. I think the Browns want to get this done. But you now have a wide receiver core of Jarvis Landry with Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman.
For a
whole year and potentially longer. And Jarvis Landry is one of the top reception guys in the league. I got to tell you, from maybe not the overall, like, you know, the big name perspective or anything like that, but you think from a talent perspective, having two opposite players like Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon, the dynamic playability of those two is going to be huge. It's going to be huge, Bogman. Now, I want to tease it, unless people are probably already, obviously know, but we'll talk about it on the other side. You got to have a quarterback to throw to them, and we'll tell you what quarterback decision they potentially made in their trade, obviously, on their side of this break. But, I mean, you look at those three receivers, they're maybe not the biggest names in the world, but, I mean...
And throw in David Njoku, who they just drafted last season, too.
That's pretty high up there, right, Bogman?
It's dangerous. It is a dangerous wide receiver core.
And
so,
you're, as a Steeler fan, in your division, you're not liking it.
I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. They were adding to the defense last year with Jabril Peppers and Myles Garrett, and this year they're adding Jarvis Landry and a bunch of other pieces, and I'm not excited.
Yeah, it's a scary thing if you're liking that division. But that wasn't it. That was only the tip of the iceberg, because then they went out and they made a trade for a certain quarterback, and they even made a few more trades. We're going to talk about the draft implications of what they did, especially with the quarterback that they got, and how he can play in that offense. And we're going to talk some more football. Bogman's got some scouting combine stuff to go. So don't go anywhere. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We will be back. We got 3 hours of this, so get locked in.
Boom.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Did you know that it only takes 1 minute to potentially save someone's life? Did you know that, Bogman?
I did know that.
You did? Okay. Well, seriously, it does. 1 minute. That's how long it takes to swab your cheeks and join the donor list with DKMS. There are currently over 900,000 registered donors in the U.S., and we need more. There's an American diagnosed every 3 minutes with blood cancer. There can never be enough donors. That is the truth. For only $45, you can help DKMS register new bone marrow donors. DKMS donors save approximately 19 lives a day. We want you to help save one. So please, if you can, go to dkms.org/FNTSY today. And I believe they even got a March Madness special with DKMS coming up on the network March 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern. Greg Carton's going to be doing it, and they've got a whole bunch of really good people. I think Brad Evans is going to be on there, Greg Sussman. So more DKMS stuff out there. They do good works. We want to help, so go check them out today. So we are back, and we are talking about the madness that this short kind of stint of the NFL offseason has been. But Friday was Browns Day, essentially. I mean, do we need to dub March 9th? Officially Browns Day? I mean, you can't give Browns a day in the season because they don't deserve it. So you got to give it in the offseason.
I was going to say, well, it's not any time in January or February.
No, for sure. But they made massive trades. And acquiring Jarvis Landry, to me, I think it's a huge separation. You know, Corey Coleman is fine, but I wouldn't call him thriving or anything like that. What you want when you have a playmaker like Josh Gordon is you want a complement to their side that can stretch the field, that is going to be able to potentially garner double coverage. You know, you want a big time, I would say, speedy possession type of receiver. And that's what Jarvis Landry is in a hole. And now you have Josh Gordon, who is just this powerful, big playmaking guy. Corners, I mean, unless you're the St. Louis Rams, who acquired every cornerback in the NFL, it's amazing. They acquired, they have Marcus Peters, they got Aqib Talib, they got Sam Shields, they have everybody on that team. The only team that I think is going to be able to successfully cover Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon is the Rams.
Did I tell you that the best part of the Aqib Talib trade to the Rams is that this year the Rams play the Raiders? So we'll get to see Aqib Talib against Michael Crabtree again.
It's so good. Snatching chains. Yeah, I was disappointed. The 49ers were potentially in on it, but Talib wanted to be released wanted to be traded to the Patriots.
He wanted to go to New England. Yeah.
But so I think that's huge. But they obviously need a quarterback, which took the second turn of what the Cleveland Browns did. They traded a third-round pick, I believe the 65th
pick. Yeah, it's the first pick in the third round.
To acquire former Buffalo Bills quarterback Tyrod Taylor. So you now have your offense set. This is what they've done. Here's the offense for the Cleveland Browns right now. Now, we're not talking New England Patriots here, but you've got Tyrod Taylor, quarterback. Running back, Duke Johnson. We'll get to where the other running back could come in. Jarvis Landry, Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman at tight end, David Njoku. Talk to me real quick before we talk about the draft implications of what Tyrod Taylor does for the Cleveland Browns and potentially what the wide receivers do for him is the way to put
it. Yeah, and I think that's the bigger point is, you know, in Buffalo, he never had the type of talent that he has at wide receiver that he has in Cleveland at this point. So I really like the move, and I like the move because half the franchise was in and half was out on Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo. You know, they benched him in the middle of a win streak to put in Nate Peterman, who threw five interceptions. I think that was a huge mistake. And I think it showed the lack of faith that they had in Tyrod Taylor. I do kind of feel a little bit bad for him, not because he's in Cleveland, like he has great weapons and everything, but if Cleveland still winds up drafting a quarterback, you know that Tyrod Taylor is now just the bridge quarterback. He's not the future. He's not going to get a real shot at this job. So we'll have
to
see.
It's possible. It's possible.
Right. That's definitely a thing that could happen. But for right now, if he walks in as the starting quarterback for this team with Landry and Gordon and Coleman and Njoku, he's never had those kind of weapons in Buffalo.
Is he a top 12 fantasy quarterback if he is?
No.
Are you sure? Nah. Because we've toyed with that when he had LeSean McCoy and Sammy Watkins because of his running ability. You know, the running stats that he can put up is kind of where the game changes. He's now in a spot.
I mean, it's possible, but let me just go through the teams real quick. Brady is obviously ahead of him, right?
Yes.
Are you taking Roethlisberger ahead of him?
Probably. Yes. Yeah.
You taking Deshaun Watson ahead of him if he's healthy?
Yes.
Andrew Luck if he's healthy?
I mean, that doesn't exist. So
as I said, if he's healthy.
Yeah,
so
I mean, he's
poor.
Not, so no.
But you would take him if he was.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota. They're close.
Yeah, I think they're close.
Okay, they're close. How about Pat Mahomes in Kansas City?
No.
I think he might be close.
I'll take
Philip Rivers, you take ahead of him.
I think that one's close.
Okay, but I think you would.
Okay.
Oakland, Derek Carr, you take ahead of him, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's cool. I think here's where, I mean, we can go through every single team. Like, I think Garoppolo belongs on there.
Well, I'm not
Rogers
going through every single team, but I'm going through the teams that you would take. You'd take Dak ahead of him. You'd take Carson Wentz ahead of him. You would take Aaron Rodgers ahead of him. You'd take Matt Stafford ahead of him. You'd take Matt Ryan. Well, maybe. You would take Drew Brees. You take Cam Newton.
I mean, how many have we said here? Is that 12?
That's 13.
Okay, so, I mean, he's a borderline guy. He's going to be that glob of the, like, I mean, maybe that's a little bit better.
He's going
to
be between 12 and 16, 17.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like we said, there are some borderline guys in there. You know, you said, okay, maybe Rivers is with the age for sure. Jimmy Garoppolo, if he doesn't get much help, they'd probably be pretty close.
I think there's a lot of guys that
even mentioned.
I think there's a lot of guys that he's going to be close to. But the point is he's got the type of weapons. You know what this reminds me of? This is a crude example. This reminds me of the like Julio Jones, Roddy White type of thing when Roddy White was good.
Yeah.
Like the, they're two really dynamic playmakers that they have at wide receivers that are going to make him be good. They're going to spread the field. How are they going to be able to not, you know, how are they going to be able to be defend successful. This and be successful? Yeah. Well, I mean, they're Browns, so they could do that. So here's where the other thing comes in. Isaiah Crowell, free agent, presumably not coming back. They've got Duke Johnson, but Cleveland Browns have two picks in this draft in the top four. They have 1 and 4. This has clearly set them up to take Saquon Barkley with the number one overall pick. So now that offense is Taylor, Barkley, Landry, Gordon, and Njoku.
I don't like it.
It's insane. I mean, that's like a Madden roster here. It doesn't mean that it's going to be successful 100%, but Barkley is a really good receiver out of the backfield. This could be a Todd Gurley situation. Tyrod Taylor, I don't think he needs to not screw up big to be successful this year. I think he's a quarterback that could go 16 in drafts that could return you top 8 value.
Absolutely. I think that's a for sure thing. I don't know if he's going to be drafted in the top 12, like you said before, but he is definitely a home run hitter type of quarterback option if you decide to not take one early. So, and I think, you know, just going through this list, I don't think you have to take a quarterback early. You can find one of those late ones that you like and stick with them.
But we've talked about this also, that they really like Sam Darnold. They still have a very high potential and probability to get him at 4. I think, what did they say? Was it Rosen and Darnold that have separated themselves?
Well, no.
You're the combine guy. Like, what was the chatter?
No. Sam Darnold didn't throw. So the guys that look the best at the combine, and this is not that surprising, are the two guys that are below that tier for a lot of people. Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield were the ones that looked the best. Josh Rosen actually threw a couple in the dirt. He looked shaky and nervous. So because he's just coming off his injury too, and you know, this is his whole life. He left school early, so he had some nerves.
But isn't that what was kind of going on? Is your who are the consensus quarterbacks? I thought it was Rosen and Darnold.
Well, it's kind of there's different boards for different people. Some that I've heard some scouts have Lamar Jackson as number 2, and some teams want him to move.
Yeah, I think the Ravens were rumored to have had him at number 2. Maybe it wasn't the Ravens, but yeah, I heard that he was a number 2 on someone's
right.
Board.
So that's kind of the difference is some teams like Rosen because he looks the most pro ready. Some teams like Sam Darnold. And I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah today, and he said that teams like Sam Darnold the most because he has the highest floor of any of these guys. Like he can be a quarterback in the next 10 years, even if he's only as good as Blake Bortles. Is right now.
You know what's funny about this?
He's at least that good. He can at least be a starter in the league.
This reminds me of a situation. We were doing our first year player draft in a baseball dynasty that we have. And I was in this situation where I had inquired about a trade up. I was 3 picks away. I ended up how it worked out. I really didn't need or want to do the trade. But the person, because what I wanted was, well, just give me the best one that comes back here because I have these guys valued all at the same spot. The person, it was practically nothing to get it, so I just pulled the trigger on it. But it's almost one of those situations, pending how they're bored and how they're rating players, if they've got, let's say they've got Darnold and Rosen really close to each other and maybe even one other guy, you just put yourself in a situation where, you know, you just take best at 4. If trading up to 2 doesn't cost a whole lot, that great, go get your guy. Go get Darnold and have Barkley and do it. But if not,
we were talking on
picks.
The phone about this earlier, the Welsh, and what I had said was number one has to be Saquon Barkley.
It can't be anything else, or you know what it is? Anything. It's the Browns. It's the classic Browns if they don't take Barkley 1.
So Barkley has to be 1 to me. And if there's a quarterback that they love, they need to take that number 4 overall pick and make it the number 2 pick. They need to flip with the Giants, do something.
Probably
find
have to
a
give
way.
Up a 2 in the following year's draft to do that.
And that's fine. I mean, what do you have to lose? You know what I mean?
Well, more games.
Well, if that's your franchise guy, you get a franchise running back and a franchise quarterback to go with these awesome wide receivers and a pretty decent up and coming tight end all in the span of 2 seasons. That's excellent. That's the way to do it. If there's a quarterback that they love, trade up for that number. For that number 2 pick. I don't think that there's a guy that they're in love with, because I think if there was one, they wouldn't have traded for Tyrod Taylor. You know, they would have been like, it's fine, we'll start Kaiser or you know, Cody Kessler for a couple starts or sign a veteran or whatever.
By the way, hilariously, the Browns, the third move, by the way, they acquired DeMarcus Randall, former ASU cornerback, from the Packers, and they traded DeShone Kizer. Out.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. We just drafted you. You're now the backup to the Packers.
Well, he didn't win any games.
Yeah.
So,
well, and Brett Hundley is even worse. Like, that's the perspective. That's the perspective of that one.
They're both kind of the same type of guy anyway.
Not good.
Kizer runs a little bit.
All right, let me ask you this. At least as far as Saquon Barkley goes here, because the Browns will be interesting this year. People will have their opinions on it, whether it's positive or negative. How do you see this situation? You now know the offense. You know Barkley is going to be a Brown. You know his quarterback is Tyrod Taylor. You know the separation the wide receivers are going to give him. It's a decent offensive line. It's actually a kind of decent defense that they've put together. You got Myles Garrett, and they've got a couple pieces. They're going to compete, but it's in a tough division. Assuming he's a Cleveland Brown, how do you now feel about Saquon Barkley and what his value is based on what you've
seen?
This
offense is way different than it was 2 days ago, so I'm way more confident at this point. So,
like, as far as rank, because, like, we've talked about this. I mean, Gurley, Bell, Elliott, those are gimmies in fantasy football this year. It's not even a question. Boom. Those are, in some order, your top three. Oh, David Johnson. You got to throw David Johnson in there. There's four. Then you start getting into a situation where you have Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy, and then where does Saquon Barkley fall in there as a Cleveland Brown? Could he be five?
He could be. He definitely could be.
Think what Tyrod Taylor did with LeSean McCoy.
You still have Kamara. Did you say Kamara?
I didn't say Kamara or...
Did you say Kareem Hunt?
I didn't say Kamara or Kareem
Kamara,
Hunt.
Kamara, you're right.
Yeah.
Kamara, Kareem Hunt.
Boy, there are a lot of good running backs on
the top
eight.
McCaffrey's got a lot better.
Hey, Derrick Henry. DeMarco Murray released.
Yeah.
I like Derrick Henry.
It's fine. I'm still not that sold. Dalvin Cook's coming back. Like, there's a lot of good running backs. You're right. I would put him right in that LeSean McCoy mix. Like,
He's a first rounder.
Talked about this, I had him behind McCoy. I think now that Tyrod Taylor's gone and they're going to be relying on Nate Peterman, I think you can just put eight in the box. And unless Buffalo winds up drafting somebody, they could go and get Baker Mayfield.
Here's a player debate, Bogman. LeSean McCoy or Saquon Barkley?
I think at this point with that offense, he winds up in Cleveland. I'm taking Barkley.
Barkley is a 100% first round pick next year.
I think at this point he's pretty close. Yeah,
I think he is too.
He has to be in that discussion at least because, like I said, I like Barkley more than I like Leonard Fournette or Ezekiel Elliott coming out of college. Yeah. Now, they both wound up in great situations. And I think this Cleveland situation, it may not be as good as either one of those, but I think his talent makes up for it a little bit. And I think he's just as valuable as those dudes were coming in. So,
well, we got more. You know what? We'll finish out this hour. We can talk a little Shohei Ohtani in hour two. Let's finish out because there's more fantasy football conversation to have. There's more football conversation to have because the combine we just had. Bogman is the host of the NFL Draft War Room podcast that we have. It's essentially an NFL Draft prospect podcast for getting you all prepped. Maybe you're playing dynasty leagues. You're thinking about trades. Sometimes it's kind of slick to get the trades done early before the hype hits. Well, Bogman is one of the people that is creating some of the hype. And you guys can listen to that on iTunes, anywhere the podcasts are. What it is, though, is it's our In This League Fantasy Football podcast. So just be aware when you're looking. Subscribe to that, and all offseason, those episodes are posted there. And he just had a most recent combine episode, so let's talk about that when we get on the other side of the break. Plus, those weren't the only moves. I shouldn't make it out like there weren't other
gigantic moves, but there were other moves.
Yeah, there were a couple other moves. There's rumors out there as well. My team, the San Francisco 49ers, potentially being linked to one of the shocking, at least if you are into the franchise tag stuff and you pay attention, one of the players that wasn't franchise tag. So we'll talk about what that could mean if this player does become a 49er. We'll talk about the scouting combine, and we'll talk about the rest of all this NFL draft stuff. Holy crap. It's March. It's fantasy baseball season, and we're talking football. That's what the Browns just did to us. The Browns just did that. That's amazing.
The Browns look to have a good offense.
I guess.
And that's before drafting Saquon Barkley.
Well, and remember, we've got 2 hours coming up at Fantasy Baseball, so you're not going to want to go anywhere with player debates, listener questions, and more. But don't go anywhere. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In This League.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In This League.
Yeah, I remember that.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, certified authors. That's right. We are certified authors of the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates.
Did we get certified?
No.
Did we get a certification? Is there some paperwork I need?
You're just ruining it. You're just ruining it. No, I'm trying to sell a story. I'm trying to sell snake oil to these people listening right now, Bogman. But no, it's an ebook you can get on Kindle, on Amazon, or you can get on our website, InThisLeague.com, to search 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. Only $7, and it is a perfect complement to any draft guide you might already have, because we're doing some different stuff with it. We're making you think, and you guys are supporting us, so we can do bigger, better things and, you know, sell you snake oil. We got more fantasy football to talk about, but I just came across this, Bogman, and I just been thinking about this, and I have a reason to think about it. Are you at all excited about the new Avengers, the Infinity Wars that's coming out?
Yeah.
Or do you not care?
No, it looks good. I'm excited about it.
Because I was not excited after seeing Black Panther, because I was one of the people that
I
was like,
I still haven't seen Black Panther.
I told you, I was like, meh, it's fine. It's fine. It's like bottom of the list, you know, or bottom of the half. If you split them in half, like, ooh, these are the half I really like. These are the other half. It's like maybe the top of the ones that were like, okay, like all the Guardians are better. But here's a reason that I'm excited about it. So my birthday weekend is April 22nd. That's my birthday. And that's a Sunday. That's, by the way,
give everybody a heads up. Yep, it's only a month and a half away.
Letting you know, because that is the day. Oh, what show starts back up? There's like a, oh, dang it.
Is it the show with a guy?
There is.
Is it Westworld?
Westworld, that's what it is. Yes,
I just said Westworld.
It is. Sorry, I got a text. I got a text from our boss here at FNTSY. So I just said, make sure.
Okay.
Yes, it is Westworld. Westworld is on my birthday, and I'm going to go out and do fun stuff. But the real present comes next week. My entire family is leaving.
Oh my God! Really?
For the weekend. My wife's like, "Hey, I need you to take Friday off because we're going to go out of town, and they're all going up north. The kids and everybody." I have a weekend to myself, and guess what happens on that Friday? Infinity Wars. Infinity Wars!
I was going to say something else, but yeah,
well,
Infinity
Wars. Believe me, there's going to be some battles going on, but you know what I mean? But the one main important battle is Infinity
You're
Wars.
You're wrestling something, that's for sure.
Don't make me mad. You won't like me when I'm angry. I am so excited. That's the real birthday present. Like, you don't know because you're alone all the time. So, is your birthday present when you're with someone?
No, it's still when I'm alone.
Okay.
So, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
It's when you don't have to, like, do this stuff.
It's, right? Like, look, my apartment looks like a hurricane went off in here. So, it's being able to have that and not hear anyone bitch about it at all. It's just there's stuff strewn about, there's dirty dishes, and there's no one here to complain. That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Okay, I just could not be more excited. So anyone that wants to send me lots of fun stuff and presents, I can open them all alone. Well, I guess that's the next week, and I'll save them. I'll save them just for you, and I'll do a Periscope right before I'm going to watch it, and everyone else is not. I could not be more excited. And it's just a movie. And then it'll be over, and then I'll be depressed for like a week, a day and a half, because I'll be alone.
Well, I'm excited for you. So are you going to like wear no pants in the house like the whole weekend?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. Like, I mean, there's baseball going on too, so maybe I'll go to a baseball game. I mean, maybe I'll hang out with the one friend
crack
I have
a beer,
you.
Like,
yeah,
with
maybe I'll
breakfast.
Call you and hang out with you for once.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I don't know. That seems like a lot of work.
I mean, it's a long drive.
Yeah.
So
I might just eat a lot of bad stuff and watch movies. Binge something.
Call that Domino's guy the second she walks out of the door.
Oh,
you know,
like, 100%.
Okay, everybody, you know, you got your Uber Eats ready. Hey, maybe do that. Maybe get some Uber Eats.
Oh, for the first time. I've never ordered.
That's right.
Here's what I want, though. Here's what I need. I need somebody to give me a show to binge. And that's not going to be easy, because I'm telling you, 90% of people, probably zero that'll come from this show, because you guys don't want to interact with us. But you can tweet at me, is it the Welsh? Give me a show to binge. Though I'll bet you I've probably already seen it. Probably already seen it. But if I haven't, I would be excited. Though you have put Shameless on the list. Speaking of Emily.
Yeah, do that. Okay. Do Shameless, 100%.
All right, let's get back to it. We're going to finish up with some fantasy football talk. We're going to talk combine. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. I don't want to jump around too much. But like, I can't get over the every year this is the best, and I don't remember if it was on the phone, if it was on the radio, I don't know, we do too much stuff, but I mentioned how at the combine with the questions that somebody,
that was definitely on this show last week, I'm pretty sure,
yeah, that somebody was asked if their mother was a hooker, and it was doubled down, and we didn't get to know who the team was, which is really unfortunate. But Darius,
well, the
Geis,
NFL's investigating,
that's so awesome,
comments.
So awesome. LSU running back Darius Geis was asked two questions. One, does he like men?
How is that anyone's business?
I think what they were waiting to do. Wasn't there something like a
this
year or two
I
ago
said.
When a guy got like a guy like attacked somebody that asked him questions? You know, because some guys don't have
a
filter.
Hell no.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. What was the other question they was asked? Like, did his mom, was a mom a prostitute?
I hear your mom sells herself. How do you handle that?
Oh, man.
Are you serious? I might have handled that by knocking that guy's teeth down.
Well,
throat.
I think that's what they were looking for, though.
I mean, yeah, and this is what I said. I feel like they were just trying to get him fired up, so he got, you know, bounced out of the combine, and then he fell down boards. Like, I feel like that was the purpose of whatever team said that, and which is not okay. But I mean, to his credit, not only did Darius Geis handle that with class by, you know,
not punching someone
and knocking their teeth down their throat for him, but he also ran a 4.49
in your face.
In the face.
I love it. I absolutely love that. Do we want to finish up with the last little few trades that happened, or do you want to mix
so
in?
So Mike Evans signed his extension, so he's going to be eating more W's. He has 55 million guaranteed.
What did I see? Didn't you post? We've got in our ITL Army, our group meet rooms. Wasn't there a posted something that was hilarious?
Ian Rappaport, I screenshotted it and posted it. And, you know, just to share the news with everybody, I think someone had beat me to it, usually happens. And right, the first comment said, poor Mike Evans, he's got a trash can thrown to him for the next 5 years. Not nice.
It's not nice, but it's true. Oh, next 5 years, who has more wins, the Bucks or the Browns? Think about that.
I'm going to say
more W's.
I think the Browns, because Roethlisberger is getting older. Joe Flacco's getting older. Andy Dalton sucks, and the Bengals have no idea what they're doing. So,
you hate the Bengals. Yeah, you hate the Bengals more than the Ravens.
I think it could be the Browns.
Have we discussed that? Do you hate the Bengals more than the Ravens?
No, I mean, I hate them both a lot. So I think right now I hate the Bengals.
Good.
But it definitely switches. So,
or you might be hating the Browns more so.
See, I hate the Ravens when the Ravens did this bit for like three straight years where they would take a cheap shot and get a 15 yarder on Ben in the first quarter of the game to try to rattle him. Like they, the hardest hit he ever took was a cheap shot, 15-yard penalty, because he talked about it. He said, that's the hardest hit I've ever taken. So they were doing that for a while. They don't seem to be doing that anymore, but they also don't seem to be winning many games anymore.
Okay, I want to ask you about this because where did I see it? It was a checkmark person, by the way, that that's
a checkmarker.
All right, well, I'm going to just say it. There was somebody, Pro Football Talk, posted this out of Pro Football Talk Rumors. They put this out there as, I think, just a conversation piece. And then somebody with a blue check mark commented of the idea that the Steelers trade Lev Bell to the Browns for the number one overall pick and the Steelers take Saquon Barkley.
Did you see my response in the room?
I didn't see you even knew about that.
I played that Aziz Ansari gif, you know.
Oh,
something
one
everywhere.
That's inappropriate.
It's very inappropriate for the show.
I just meant in season, sorry. But
No. No, come on, man. You can't be spreading false rumors.
He heard that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he said that. Yeah. Not true.
So you don't buy it. So you don't buy that because this person...
Well, of course I don't buy it, but if that happened, I would love it. Are you kidding me?
Well, there was somebody that was like, this would happen. If the Steelers could get the number one overall pick and get Barkley, they would trade Lev Bell.
I would do it.
Well, because Lev Bell doesn't want to be a Steeler.
And it's not that that's not it. Like, Lev Bell does want to be a Steeler, but he wants to be a Steeler that gets paid $18 million a year, and the Steelers don't have that type of money for a running back. Nobody does.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, you know, the Niners have a bunch of cap space. They could afford it for now, but you would have to do something along the lines of what they did with Jimmy Garoppolo, where you front load that deal and pay him a lot. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell doesn't seem to be the smartest, the sharpest bulb in the knife drawer. You know what I mean? Like, he thinks that he's going to get $14.5 million per year because that's what he's going to sign the franchise tag at. Nobody's going to give him that.
I think the Browns might.
Browns might do that.
Browns could never get a player like Lev Bell to come to their organization.
But why would they?
Okay, I'll tell you. I'll tell you right now, because you're going to say, why would they spend that type of money on a running back? I'll tell you why.
No, not would they. Why would they? Why would they trade the number one overall pick?
Because you get Lev Bell, and I'll tell you the main reason here. Because there's always unknowns. Lev Bell himself could recruit and bring in players that the Browns could never, ever, ever bring to that organization because
but the Browns won't be able to afford those players because Lev Bell's going to be making too much money.
Details. I don't know.
I mean, look, I love it. I think it's a pipe dream because I don't – like, why wouldn't they just wait to re-sign Saquon Barkley, right? But I would love that trade. I would love that trade because I'm kind of sick of Le'Veon Bell's antics. He's an amazing player, but the Steelers score just as many points per game without Le'Veon Bell as they do with him.
The other trade that went down, we got to get it all in here real quick. Torrey Smith was traded to the Panthers, which, you know, interesting. I know they wanted to change up some of the core there. So
Teddy Ginn replacement, guy that stretches the field. So they still need a little bit at wide out.
So real quick, I want to talk about this potential rumor and then whatever we can sneak in on the NFL Combine. Allen Robinson with the Jaguars was not franchised when it was presumed that he would. And one of the rumors that's going out there right now, and I had heard this way before the season even ended, that the 49ers would be aggressive in their pursuit of Allen Robinson. Now, they just locked up Marquise Goodwin. They obviously signed Jimmy Garoppolo. Even after both of those, I think they still have probably around $60 million. You know, their cap room was near the top. So they have got boatloads of money to go with. They've got Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin. Allen Robinson would be a game changer to add to Garoppolo's weapons. That's exactly what they need. That team needs playmakers. I want them to take a guy like Nick Chubb or something like that in the first round because they're not getting Barkley. I want playmakers on that team, and that would help them avoid drafting someone like Calvin Ridley, and I think that would improve Allen Robinson's stock having Jimmy Garoppolo throw to him.
I think it's a great deal. The problem is there's a lot of teams that really need a wideout,
Allen Robinson specifically.
So, yeah, I mean,
but I don't know if many have more money than the 49ers. The 49ers can
Bears got a lot of money.
Well, that's true. I mean, okay. I mean, do you want to play with Mitchell Trubisky or Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, I mean, I get what you're saying.
Play in Chicago or play in San Francisco?
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, I agree with all this stuff, but there's, you know, there's a lot of teams that need a number one. Baltimore needs a number one. The Jets need a number one, and that's a huge market as well. Arizona could use somebody to play next to Larry
because
Larry's
going to
retire. Yeah, I mean, I think they could find it. Carson Palmer.
They need a quarterback.
Retired.
They need a quarterback.
Well, Drew Stanton's probably going to be the quarterback, and they're in a position to pick whoever falls to them or trade up. You know, Carolina could use a number one, and they're closer to the Super Bowl than any of these other teams. So,
okay, well, where is his value then? If he was a 49er.
I think it's between the Niners and the Bears. If he winds up with San Francisco, I think that's the best quarterback he could wind up with out of this group.
Agreed. So. All right. Last couple of minutes here. Give me a little drill on the NFL Combine. Who raised their stock fantasy-wise? Think of it from a fantasy perspective if you can, obviously. Yeah. That's what you do with your show. So fantasy-wise, what was exciting for you about the NFL Combine in about 2 minutes?
Well, DJ Chark moved up. Probably the most of anyone. I mean, Saquon Barkley had the best combine, but he can't move up. You know, I think all he did was move from 4 to 1. So he moved up 3 spots.
I would say it's a significant one. He solidified himself as the first overall pick.
He probably did, but there's still many, many teams that don't believe in drafting a running back number one. We'll see if the Browns are one of them. That it'd be the most Brown thing ever for them to do that. But DJ Chark ran a 4.34. He had, I think, the best broad jump of wide receivers.
Who's DJ Chark? Where does he play?
LSU.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Played for LSU. And he had a great Senior Bowl, too. So his stock is moving up. Mike Gesicki also, he was just best at everything except for, I think, Dallas Goedert had one more rep on the bench press than him at tight end. So he established himself as the number one overall tight end. He's kind of like that, you know, he's kind of like a Jason Witten type. He can block and he can run routes. Equanimee St. Brown, my dude, I had him at number 4 amongst my wide receivers. And he, at 6'4", ran a, I think it was a 4.43.
Did Mouse Cop right. have a good combine?
Who, Mouse Cop?
Mouse
I don't,
Cop?
I didn't
Mouse
see
Cop.
What he did.
Okay.
Equanimee St. Brown is a weird name for sure. And then Justin Jackson moved way, way up.
You've
and both
talked
Scarborough
about him for months.
Him up. Look, I like Justin Jackson. He produced very well for Northwestern, you know, playing in the Big Ten. He was really, really good. And I like, I like Akram Wadley and I like Justin Jackson. Yeah. Akram Wadley had a bad combine, so he's moving down. Justin Jackson, his combined score or his compact score, whatever you call it in the combine, I can't remember what it is. He was 4th. Behind Barkley, Chubb, and Scarborough.
Wow. And Scarborough really helped himself, too. He was kind of, you know, he's like a man child, like the ridiculous size of him.
This is a combine guy, Scarborough. Yeah. He was made for the combine.
You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of a more athletic LeGarrette Blunt.
You know what? That's a good comparison. I would say his draft situation is like Jay Ajayi. There are some teams that are going to have him off the list because of his injury history, but some teams are going to look at these numbers and go, oh.
Yeah,
if we can just get him and he stays healthy,
well, make sure
it's going to be very, very good.
Make sure you go listen to the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. You can get the NFL Draft War Room coverage, but don't go anywhere, my friends, because we have got Shohei Ohtani, we've got listener questions, and we have got player debates, all for fantasy baseball coming up. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.